All right, let's do this one more time. I'm Brooklyn's one and only Spider-Man. My name is Miles Morales. I was bitten by a radioactive spider. I'm pretty sure you know the rest. You're listening to the number one podcast in education across the Spider-Verse, Steambox. Are those my Jordans?
Hi, everybody. This is Roberto. Welcome back to the Steambox podcast. This is episode one of the school year. I normally start the school year in October, but here we are at the very end of September. I'm going to tell you why we're here in just a second, but I've got a group here in Quonset, a group of students from across the state in Quonset, students from across the state. Please say what's up to the world.
What's up?
What's up? What's up?
That's what I talk about. Some people don't get it. You guys get it. I appreciate that. Hi, help me out here. So I paid so much attention to wanting to make sure I got student voice right today that I didn't spend a lot of time with the details of like, okay, this event was like, this is the name of the event. This is what we're doing here. This is what everybody else should learn from the day. Can you give me a quick synopsis and introduce yourself for our audience?
Hi, Crystal Carpenter, Tech Sergeant in the Rhode Island Air National Guard. Today we're here, September 29th, Friday. Raining a little bit, but we're going to do the STEM Exploration Open House event. We got the high school kids coming in, learning everything STEM-wise, and all the aircraft on the ramp and all the military equipment, and hopefully it's going to be a great day.
I'm hoping that it started out pretty great, I think. The audience was hot down there, and you guys packed the house.
We did.
I was not expecting that. I'm thinking like a military event for students around the state. Like
the hangar was full.
The hangar
was ready.
The hangar was full. Thank you also, bonus credit, for throwing in the weather, which was really cool. Good information for our audience to have. You're way in the back. Shout it out. We got another person in the room. We should learn who you are. Hi.
Sergeant Chalice in the background.
Sergeant Chalice in the background?
Yes.
That's it. That's what your role. That's what we do. We hang out in the back. Welcome. We're going to get into it. Topic today is the year 2040. I'm a futurist. I have a whole lot to say about the future, but our audience is very aware that I wear like a tinfoil hat and I'm super worried about AI and all this stuff. Our audience is very aware. They've heard me talk about it a million times. I want to hear you guys, what your version of the future is. You get bonus points if you can move into a different direction from some of the things that we've already talked about today. So three things to start with. Can you please tell me your name, your school, and your favorite thing in the world, and go.
I'm Marissa, and I'm from NK, and I live at...
Marissa, so NK, you wouldn't know this, but we have audience from, like, Ireland, right? Like it's wild. It's crazy. Nobody from Canada listens to us, and that blows my mind. But Ireland and Spain, big time, I have no idea what. But they might not know what NK is.
NK.
Not that they know what.
Yeah.
But go ahead.
NK is a high school in Rhode Island, North Kingstown High
School. North Kingstown High School. And acting. Who do you, like, is there somebody that you want to emulate as you, this is me going out, elaborating, but.
Well, Dove Cameron inspired me to start acting and taking classes, so she really brought me out of, like, my shell for doing that.
Have you started?
I started doing theater in high school, and then I'm starting to take classes, so, yeah.
Dope. And it's never too late to change your mind. I was into acting, did that through high school, got to college specifically for that, and I was like, nope, and then went in a different direction. Thanks.
I'm Robert. I go to North Kingstown High School in Rhode Island, and my favorite thing to do is probably play the guitar.
Okay. Is there somebody that you're emulating? Do you have a sound that we would say is, oh, that's like this?
So what's weird about that is I actually play the guitar upside down and backwards. So like normally...
Like inverted backwards? Like it's facing you? The strings
are
facing
you? No. Oh. So like the neck of the guitar is this way normally,
yep.
But like I play it this way, or actually no.
Is it
it's
because
this way, but I play it this way because I can't, like, my left hand just doesn't, it's weird.
You know, my nephew loves being weird. Is it because you love being weird, or is it because,
that's ever
had to ask?
Well, no. So like, my dad, when I was younger, always, he loved playing the guitar. He did it at church 24/7.
Okay.
And I'd just be there beside him, like, watching him do it. And, like, from that moment on, I knew that's something that I wanted to do. I just wasn't sure.
But why backwards?
Well, so, I don't really know, like, how that happened. It just happened. Like, I could never hold a guitar properly. So, like, and I feel, like, a lot more comfortable, like, strumming the strings with my right hand, or, like, left hand. So, it's just something that I've always been.
I'm going to have you back on the podcast as our star when you can crush Freebird. Just let me know when it's time. You're back.
Okay.
Freebird.
Go ahead.
Hi, I'm Sol, and I go to North Kingston High School in Rhode Island.
And we got a Latina in the house, right?
Represent, right?
Where I'm from, in the schools that I'm from, it's Latino dominated. So it's refreshing and a little, like, almost intimidating that you seem to be the minority.
Yeah, I'd say that that's definitely an experience that I have, especially going to school in North Kingstown. There's not a lot of us. We're here.
Is it a friendly experience, or can it be improved upon?
I think it definitely can be improved upon. Yeah. And then my favorite thing is probably art. I work with all sorts of mediums. I take art commissions on Etsy.
What's your favorite medium?
I would have to say digital art. I am just, like, absolutely obsessed with just, like, Procreate and all those different things that I can do with it.
I can't wait to see. What's your Etsy account? Where should we go and look?
It's at @souls_artbox on Etsy.
I've never seen this move the crowd. Our podcast does a lot. They listen. They drop out. They don't comment. They don't hit like. They don't hit subscribe. But maybe for once, go check that out.
Yeah.
And pick up some art and support a young student. My homie and...
My name is Sean Heap from Cranston High School East. I absolutely love and deeply attached to TTRPGs.
Okay. Tactical table role-playing games?
Tabletop role-playing game. So that would be D&D, Call of Cthulhu, Down Darker Trails,
yeah,
things of that sort.
My game collection went from about the usual 12, like Taboo and, you know, the intro stuff, to 160 in 1 year. Like, I would just, last year I was just like, I like to play board games now, boom. And I don't even play them. I love them. They're just taking my whole apartment.
TTRPGs are not board games.
I know. I understand.
Yeah, you know, Dungeons and
Yes, Dragons. Yes. Yep. Some of them still require a lot of space, right?
Yeah. Some of them. If you use props.
Yeah.
If you use props.
So I've been intimidated and afraid to get involved. Is this something, what's something that you could say to me?
Easy.
Why? Why should I, but to one of my best friends who says I'm starting a D&D night, why should I go?
All you need for D&D, or most TTRPGs, maybe some dice,
yep,
a piece of paper, a pen, and yourself.
Yeah.
That's it. You come, your DM, keeper, whatever it is for the TTRPG you're playing, sets you up in a story. You make your character, and you tell your character's story.
Yep. Do you enjoy the art of it? Are you afraid of where AI is going? There was a Meta conference this week where Zuckerberg introduced Snoop Dogg as a DM. So now anybody on an iPhone, no, I'm sorry, not an iPhone, on any phone, can through Messenger or something like that, message this fake Snoop Dogg, and Snoop Dogg is your DM for this. What do you... Go ahead.
So I think it's, like, really, it's cool, don't get me wrong, but it's also scary because, like, it's just, it's scary because, like, what if the actor or what if the singer actually finds out about it?
It's like, Snoop Dogg lent himself to this, so he sold his rights, I'm sure. But as you know, one of the scary things for me, for AI, we think about regulating it, we think, okay, well, you're going to have to tell Facebook and Google and all this stuff what they can and can't do. But also, one of us, who is a smart hacker, can do this from their basement.
Right.
You know what I mean? And use whoever's voice, just like that Drake song, who did that authorize it. Go ahead.
I have a question for you.
What's your name and school?
I'm Cora Barreto. I go to Cranston East High School.
Okay.
And do you want me to say what I like?
Yes.
Well, I like a lot of things, but the main thing is I like to sing.
Okay.
Yeah. It's pretty cool.
What a good assortment we have. This is a very diverse
group. Yes. Go ahead. And my question for you is, with D&D, I know you say, like, only bring a piece of paper, but in the groups I've been in, it's been, like, you need to write, like, 5 different parts of a character sheet. There are, like, 4 pages.
A lot of character sheets do have extra pages when you print them out, But that's just for if you want to write down that extra stuff. Other than your main statistics, you know, your health, your ability scores, and your inventory, and a few other statistics, you don't really need that much, right?
If I played with you, you'd be able to simplify this for me?
I'd be able to simplify it if you want. Great. Another thing is there's online tools that make making characters very simple. For example, D&D Beyond, if you're playing D&D, and other online things where you can just put in your base statistics and it'll calculate everything for you, and boom, you've got a character.
I want my guy to be fat. I want my guy to be like me, right? So I didn't really get into it. A lot of video games don't let me do that, right? Like even Baldur's Gate, right? Like make my guy fat.
Playing a TTRPG, you make the character from the ground up. Race, sex, appearance, personality traits, background, family history.
We're going to join your RPG night. Name, school, and what's your favorite thing?
Hello, my name is Braden Blanchett. I'm also from North Kingstown High School, and my favorite things are probably the ocean and snow.
The ocean and snow. You're the skier. You're the person who loves to ski. I butchered your name earlier. And you're really worried about climate change.
I am, yeah.
And you gave me the absolute worst reason, right? Like, I hear so many reasons. For me, as a kid, growing up in Providence, there was never tornadoes. And now there are several tornadoes a year. Mm-hmm. What the hell? Like, the world is changing. Things are different. In Switzerland, they lost 10% of their glaciers over the past 2 years. I was just there this summer, and it was hot. It was hot.
Their snow season was also very bad this year.
Yeah. So the reason that you gave, which is not, it's from my perspective, right? Because I'm hearing all of these other like things that are going to be happening to the environment and like homes, people losing homes and the wildfires killing people. And you were like, dude, I won't be able to ski.
I think it's something that folks affects a lot of people. Me personally, I love to ski. And then you have big corporations and big towns out in Utah that their entire economy is based around snow, like Park City. All around there is all based around the snow. If they don't get good snow, then they can't run the ski lifts, they can't run the town. So then you're going to be missing out on a whole bunch of in towns and a bunch of ski villages.
Yeah. I think it's really important for me to not scoff at the idea of not being able to ski, because if that's some people's perspective and if that's what's motivating, and I know that's not what's motivating, it's oversimplifying for me to dare imply that that's what's motivating you to be interested in climbing.
Yeah, it's just a niche.
Right. I completely understand that. But for somebody who is, if that's the only reason that they're, well, good, right? Like at least it's a reason to be concerned about it. So I really appreciate you bringing that up. Hi, sorry. Please.
No, it's okay. My name is Logan McCulley. I'm from Coventry High School, and my favorite thing, it's got to be anything electrical, video games, computers, stuff like that.
Me too. Man after my own heart. I should point out that Kenneth Risto runs programming in Rhode Island, I think probably out of Providence, called Experience Confidence Opportunity, and he takes youth skiing. A lot of the times, the students from where I'm from, their activities after school is they shoot each other with airsoft guns.
I thought you were going to say something else for a second.
Well, you never really know what you're being like when somebody's aiming a gun at you in this, like that's a real concern in that particular city. But also like, you know, obviously basketball and other things. These are some opportunities that that Kenneth Rusko is running. So check them out. That's pretty dope. You've introduced yourself. Go ahead and join us.
My name is Daniel O'Brien. I'm from Tollgate High School in Rhode Island. My two passionary things are weather and space.
Is passionary a real word, or did you just make that up? I come from Spanish speakers, so I can't tell you.
I don't know myself.
We're gonna have to look this up. I threw the challenge flag on passionary. I'm gonna look that up later. But enough people let it slide that you won. You won that one. Passionary is now an official word for our podcast.
If it's not already.
We talked a lot about space earlier. And your interest for space, man, we did so many projects. You got like Steambox student written all over you. All of you do for a lot of your passions. I can't wait to hear about your version of the year 2040. But first up, we've got one more introduction.
My name is Nicholas Taylor, and I'm from Woonsocket High School, specifically PTEC, the computer science program.
Okay.
But my special interest is not computer science, and it's nature, so biology.
Oh, snap. You know who's going to love that? One of my best friends in the world is a science teacher there, Rathbun, Nina Rathbun.
Oh, yeah, I've had her twice.
Please go and say hello. She's one of my best friends in the world. And tell her you said that on the podcast for the world to know. F computer science.
It's all about the environment.
Passionary in British English. Noun, Christian church, a book containing details of the suffering of saints and martyrs.
All right. So, maybe. I bust balls in fun. So please don't like go home and be upset about me calling out the word passionary. I genuinely, honestly, I'm ESL. I genuinely don't know. Right. So it was an honest question.
You mentioned that you were that you two are both Latino earlier. What yes. flavor Latino are you?
Oh,
what
well,
flavor?
As a hybrid, our celebrity nickname would be Dumrican. That's we got the half Dominican, half Puerto Rican.
You're so right. I'm half Puerto Rican.
It was also super offensive.
Yeah, no. I was just saying that my flavor is Peruvian. My dad, he's an immigrant from. He moved from Peru to Brazil and then to the United States.
Very cool.
Yeah.
I'm East Island's mutt.
Tell us more.
It means it's three or more bloodlines. It's English, Irish, Scottish.
Okay.
The East Islands. Yeah.
There's been...
Or is it East Isles? I don't remember.
I've had weird moments this year where I thought I knew my identity, like, nationality stuff. But I have really started breaking stuff down. There's sometimes, for simple people, there's a divide between Puerto Ricans and Dominicans, right? There's slight differences in the culture. And sometimes there's animosity between them, right? Like, for example, Puerto Ricans are naturalized, which means we're citizens right away, when Dominicans have a harder path, right? So just from that viewpoint alone, right, like sometimes it's some of those differences that almost come between simple people. Go ahead.
I can absolutely speak to that.
Go ahead.
So when my grandparents immigrated to the U.S., I noticed that it was definitely, from what they've told me, a very difficult process for them. And I have friends that are Puerto Rican, and they told me, it's never really been an issue for us because, we're naturalized. So I kind of go back and forth as I please. And honestly, I envied that because the times that I get to go back to DR and go to my country and visit family, and I see all these differences and how the people work and how the people suffer. And it's so interesting to kind of see those differences.
It's really wild. There's been proposals to take away naturalization, even for children born here. So there are current politicians who are like, even if you were born here, we should be able to deport you. In the year, it's a thing.
It's messed up. That's it.
It's a thing. It's not going to pass. But it's one of those things. It's how dangerous some of the thoughts are from some of our representatives. I don't want to get into like my political thoughts. So for me, even to call it dangerous was me overstepping. So I apologize. Let me take it back. Go ahead.
I want to actually suggest to bring that around to our topic of the year 2040. How do you think that's going to change?
That's exactly what I wanted to add. That's exactly what I was going to say. Went crazy. So how do you think it's going to change?
Ooh, that's a good question. Well, it really depends who gets put in power nowadays and how they decide to change the world, their views, their moral perspectives, and what they decide to do with the countries that they rule. Mm-hmm. It could go either way, really. It could go any way, but I think honestly it's going to get better. I think that as time goes on, we bring more and more attention to these issues. People take more recognition of them, even if it's just to like better themselves in a public eye. People are going to do things about it.
Okay, I see. Go ahead.
In my opinion, it can go two ways. Now, way number one is it gets worse. People decide to make these like big decisions because they're working for us, in quotation marks, but it's going to lead to just more like separation of like people. Even if they're born here, they're going to be separated from their own identity as being like American through naturalization. I don't know if that's the right word for that, but it could cause a lot of like problems because it's also going to make it way harder for people to get here if we put more restrictions or like pass those laws that kind of let those people say, you're not from here. You are not this.
I think that's a great point. Somebody on my podcast, a student said, this is a student who's an immigrant from Africa. I forget what country. I want to say it's definitely South Africa. I forget which country. And he said that it upset him, and we could have different opinions, I'm not getting like a political thing. He said it upset him that when somebody just asked somebody to stop speaking Spanish in their store and they didn't want to stop speaking Spanish. And then it was a very Spanish-speaking group. So the group was upset. Obviously, I come from a Spanish-speaking family. So, I have opinions. But the idea is forgetting that for a moment, just going one step further, because somebody brought up, why shouldn't people be able to speak their own language? Then I was like, well, is that my language? Is Spanish your language?
So for me personally, I have different opinions on this only because I speak four languages.
I see you in your... Go ahead.
So I consider Spanish to be my language because I learned Spanish and English at the same time.
I did too.
Yeah. So do you kind of feel that sort of disconnect where it's like, well, I learned both, so I don't know where
to
stand?
It's called Spanish. So it's from Spain. And neither I nor my family are from Spain. I did one of those genetic tests, and I'm like, I've got this large part Taino Indian. There's some weird Irish mix, other stuff, which was really interesting to me. And it made me wonder, why am I owning Spanish like it's my language? Why am I defending Spanish? Now, I'm not suggesting that that student was right, and I'm not going to get into the politics of it. But I'm saying it was really interesting. What's my actual identity? What's my real language? And I had to look it up. So I did look it up, and I found it. But it's very indigenous. And it really made me say, well, why have I related to this so much when my family is actually descendants of this, like more of a Native American? Go ahead, follow up, and then I'm jumping on there.
Yeah. So I just want to finish that with, so Native people of Puerto Rico are Boricuan. And so that's the indigenous group there. So I totally agree with you because Dominicans, we're Taino originally.
Mm-hmm.
And it really does sadden me to see that so much of that has been lost. And because of DR being such a tourist hub, we lose so much of who we are as people.
Yes, yes. And now let's go back to the beginning of our conversation. How easy is it for us to get divided by politics, be tribal by Android or iPhone, right?
Sure.
Have you ever had that conversation? One tribe. You know what tribe you're in. PlayStation or Xbox, right? You know what tribe you're in. Dominican, Puerto Rican. We know what tribe we're in, and it's easy to be divided. But when it comes back to it, we're Taino.
We're Taino. We're family.
And yet our people separate themselves from each other.
Yes.
It's wild. I see you too. So the year 2040, I'm going to try to stick to the year 2040. I also want to say that there are other parts of this agenda today. So some of the, for our audience at home, some of our guests might slowly be exiting. I'm not going to have my high energy finish that we normally have. So feel free at any point, if you wanted to check out some of the rest of the day, we've got somebody who could walk you over. I wanted to get to you.
So going back to the year 2040,
yeah.
As everybody said, even though we brought up different things as a whole, I think that at least in the country and in the world, I feel like the younger generation is pushing for more of an inclusive, not just for people, but, for the climate as well, and for artificial intelligence, and trying to use that to move forward and to push the entire, everybody forward as a whole, instead of trying to divide. And I think that as the older generations become less in power and the younger people end up moving up in roles, I think that we'll see greater improvement in just general help for everybody and everything in a inclusive way.
There's a movie, ID4, Independence Day, and there's an interesting speech given by the president, and he talked about unifying everybody. And when we talk about tribalism and stuff, and we talk about the future, and a lot of people talked about AI, it's weird. I hate the idea that the only time that I imagine, like, us really all bonding together, and our weird uncles who say weird stuff on Facebook and stuff, right? Everybody all together is if we can form one tribe, and I think we need another tribe to do that against. I think it's going to need an AI uprising if we want to see humanity come together or aliens actually come down. I'm going 1, 2, 3. Did you have a... Was that...
I already moved off the topic.
Okay. I'll be happy to go back to it. Did you want to jump on the topic? And then definitely.
I wanted to jump on just the overall 2040 agenda.
Yep.
For me personally, it's the 2040 timeline is a very a hard one to predict. The likelihoods of everything going smoothly in the space industry and the weather industry, for that matter, there's a likely chance that both could fail.
Yep.
Regards, and both could succeed. Mm. Currently, as of right now, my big goal in the future is becoming one of the first people to walk on the red planet.
Mars. You're talking Mars. Okay.
I'm with you on that. I'm with you on that.
100%. I am a Musk fan, but I do disagree with half of the stuff that he says on Twitter.
Oh, thank
God. Or X. He's something else, but I overlook that compared to everything else he's done good in the world.
Yeah.
Everybody looks at his negatives. It doesn't work towards his positives.
Yeah. I can completely see what you mean by that. I'm a big Musk guy myself, and a lot of my friends are always like, I don't understand how you can support him. And I'm like, well, you don't have to support everything he says. You can support part of him. And I love his enthusiasm towards colonizing Mars and his
deep planet.
Yeah, exactly. And his
determination.
Yeah, exactly. His drive to
He's been doing it since he was a young adult.
Did you know that he has Asperger's?
Shout out to people doing big things with Asperger's. I honestly think that's really important. Yeah. Can you get me to Mars within 48 hours, man? Because when I fly to Japan, when I went to New Zealand, that was like 18-hour flight, man. Babies and stuff.
With that, I feel like as a current, right now, the timeline to Mars is a long one. And even to the moon, it's decently long. It's 3 to 4, 5-ish days, depending on the mission. With Mars, it's a shortest 5 to 6 months. Now, I've talked to, some other YouTubers,
yep,
other people about, is it theoretically possible that we could go the speed of light? The answer is yes and no.
Did you just say Mach 25? Did you put a speed on it?
Yeah.
All right.
It would be a lot higher than that.
Yeah.
I'll take it.
Way higher. The power, so we could get to the speed of light probably eventually in the future, probably not this century.
Right.
We could eventually.
So
we would have to somehow figure out. Not by 2040.
Where will we be by 2040? Will somebody have touched down on Mars by 2040?
Likely.
I agree.
We will be back on the moon colonizing with SLS, Artemis program. If it's a state. It's right now, it's over budget. It costs like $4 billion per launch.
And I appreciate this about Musk, that he buys a lot of people's great ideas and then puts them forward. And I think it's interesting. I think on one hand, he deserves credit for that. On the other hand, some people give him a lot of credit for like inventing like a car that he buys the technology and stuff. And he's at least adept enough to be able to have that conversation about it. There was one more follow up. Go ahead.
Oh.
And then I want to come back to you. Go ahead.
So, with what he was saying, that actually made me think about, and what she was saying earlier about like Dominicans being Hispanic, that kind of thing. It made me think of a movie I actually watched recently about this guy, Jose Hernandez.
I learned
Miles Away, yeah.
I learned that I'm not Hispanic, so I identify as Latino. It's interesting.
It's different, yeah, and I always get them mixed up.
I'm not trying to correct you. I have so many cousins who think that they are Spanish. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's a wild thing. I'm not trying to correct you. I'm trying to correct that for the world, like our audience, but please, go ahead.
But so this guy, it shows like a timeline of his life over like, I don't know if it was like 30 years, 40 years, it could have been 40 years.
Yep.
But he starts off, he knows his dream is space. He knows his dream is space and he knows that he's going to get there. And then he gets rejected a bunch of times when he's older. And then he eventually gets to go to space.
The 13th time?
It was the 13th time. The 13th time.
My mom recommended me watching that film.
It's a very good movie.
One more time, the name of the film?
It's called A Million Miles Away.
Yep.
And why I was mentioning it and bringing it up is that, like, it thinking about the career opportunities yep. that will be, like, present in 2040, how will being Latina, being, like, Hispanic, or, like, your interest in space, how will your identity, like, really let you interact with those opportunities?
There was one.
Should there be an identity, right? Yeah. Like, should there? It's a real genuine question. I don't even know.
I've been waiting for a chance to interact with this.
Oh, please, go ahead. I'm sorry if you don't mind. Totally,
yeah. If that's...
And then I'm going to go this way. I know we're, like, over time, so go ahead.
That's totally it, yeah. So I definitely want to add on to that with being Latino now, and it already does affect our career opportunities and what we do and how we reach people. And I just want to shout you out personally for that.
Oh, I appreciate that.
Absolutely.
What's his Instagram?
Oh, what is your Instagram?
@SteamboxRI. You can see our stuff @SteamboxRI. And I do take DMs. I'm happy to interact, especially with young people. And I create opportunities because I know I can't be in all the schools. So I create opportunities like hackathons all the time where we'll do it based around hip hop or space. And the next one's going to be about mental wellness, which I can't wait. I actually want to talk more about that, but please go ahead.
Yeah. So I just wanted to follow that up with just thank you for taking up space as a Latino creator and opening up all these opportunities for people like me that don't see themselves often in roles of success like this.
Do you know the way that we do it is put representation in front of you. And for some people, that might look different. For us, we've had this conversation about Latinos, right? Like, so for us and for many of my students, it's putting Latinos successful in front of students. But it's not just that. We have like a Women in STEM month where we interview exclusively women who are doing dope work in STEM, right? So maybe you identify with that. Maybe you identify because even though it's a Latino person, it's a Latino person coming in who's like this master skier or whatever and does a bunch of stuff, who was in the Olympics, or you know what I mean? It's those kind of things. That's how we love to connect. So thank you for that recognition. I really appreciate that. But I want to come back to you because as I think about space, I'm not half as smart as I didn't know what you were talking about when you were talking at this speed. It just sounded impressive. And the stuff that you're talking about, I only know, like, when I think about it, I think of, like, I'm in Cydonia in Starfield on Mars.
I recommend, and for the audience watching, if you want to know the basics,
yep.
I have a perfect YouTuber to watch.
Who's the YouTuber? Shout him out real quick.
Everyday Astronaut.
Okay, so check out Everyday Astronaut, and we'll get smarter. One of my favorite franchises is Star Wars. I love this Ahsoka series. Talk about representation. Not only is, like when I was your age, I was sad about this franchise, Star Wars, because it was a fact to me that I was never getting Star Wars again. Star Wars was a thing in my past that was dope, that I enjoyed when I was a kid. And then now there's Star Wars content all the time. Mandalorian's pretty good. The Boba Fett show, I wish was better.
They're milking it for everything it's worth.
Ahsoka is a Puerto Rican woman leading this Star Wars series.
Ahsoka.
So dope.
Yeah.
It's wild. I love it. One of the
thrills to see Hayden Christensen.
They bring in, yes, that was so dope. And my son loves him so much. So that scene, I sent him a GIF, and it was a spoiler because it was before he had seen this episode. Where Anakin and Darth Vader kept flashing in between them.
Yes.
And it was just like...
You lack conviction.
Like, I was like, oh my God, oh my God. No, when he called her Snips, I was like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. Because that's from the series. So, you're familiar with Samuel L. Jackson?
Yep.
Famous actor, been in a billion movies.
Although.
Thank you, yes. So, Samuel L. Jackson is making Star Wars movie... shortly after that. So I was wrong. They made new Star Wars. Samuel L. Jackson was in it. But he made his contract different because when he got to set and saw them scanning people's faces, he knew that it was, like, he asked, what's this about? And they were like, oh, this is for future projects so that we can still use this character. And he's like, well, I'm not getting paid for future projects. So he started, like, that was a futurist moment. Yep. Those moments, when you have those moments and you're thinking about the future, in those moments, you're a futurist. Yep. So Samuel L. Jackson, in the year 1999, wasn't thinking about the year 2040. He was thinking about the year 2020, 2022, 2023. And Samuel L. Jackson said, I do not grant you permission to use my rights for anything beyond this movie. So he was aware that AI was going to now put him in stuff. After the Drake stuff, I watched Elvis sing the You Got Big Butts. I Like Big Butts, that song.
So I like big butts and I cannot lie.
There's a music video of Elvis singing it in Elvis' voice, not like it was Elvis. So, and we know Elvis was long dead when that song came out. So how do you feel about it?
So it's really, really terrifying.
What's your name one more time? Marissa, thank you. So Marissa, you get your big break, right?
Yeah.
Out of college, somebody had recognized you and was like, oh, you know, we want you for this movie. And they ask you to sign, but you notice stuff about likeness for future. Let's say it is Star Wars project. So you know the project is going to have a longer leg than you,
yeah.
Right? So is that something that you'd worry about or be concerned about?
I mean, I would probably be concerned about it a little same time. It's like, if I lost, like, getting paid, for different kind of projects you're doing, like, I would obviously want to get paid for that because, like, I'm doing my job and stuff like that. It is the something different they need to, like, pick up.
Marissa, when you were in middle school, I'm not assuming that you like boys or girls. I'm not making any or other. I'm not making any assumptions.
Yeah.
But let's say that there was a situation where somebody said, just out of the blue, they were like, I think Marissa likes Corey. Marissa likes Corey. And then everybody started, Corey, you ever seen? Have you ever seen that happen? No, Corey in the school, like Corey Stevens, right? Have you ever seen that happen in a school where somebody just makes up?
I've seen that 100 times. Barrington was so dramatic, I transferred from there. And that happened every day.
That's part of school. So you're all familiar with the situation.
Yeah.
Okay, what about now? If there's a video that somebody from your school puts online of you going to Corey's house and buying flowers and we're holding up a sign that says, Corey, will you date me? And it's a video of you online. Is it possible to do today?
There was actually an incident like that a few years ago where this will be quick, but this mom was mad at these kids who like said something about her daughter. So she either used AI or used Photoshop to edit these girls into like revealing photos and sent it to the school, their teams, because I think they were on a soccer team that beat the mother's like son. No. And then she got caught. She got caught. But she had sent them in being like, these girls are doing these disturbing, disgusting things.
Yeah.
When they weren't. She was just mad. Yeah, exactly. And so, that can have like a detrimental effect on
someone's
life.
I want to get your answer on this. And then I want to get to your follow-up. Is that something that concerns you as an actress and or as a person?
Or for which question?
Pick. Oh, I'm sorry. Using your likeness in a way that you didn't actually perform.
It would probably make me mad because it's just, I don't know, honestly, but it would just make me mad.
Before I go to my friend, give me one, the year 2040, I think this.
I think in the year 2040, things are definitely going to change, like really big changes for different kind of things, like say if like taxes, money, like things at the store are going to go higher.
Crypto.
And then people can't be able to buy things because things are so overpriced. And it's just something that the world is going to have to see at some point. Especially gas prices, too. Boys can't afford 50 bahars or anything like that. People on the road.
So you think there's going to be a greater divide between classes? And that's something to think about, right? Because over my lifetime, the middle class has almost disappeared. And it's almost rich people and poor people now. So that's a great point. Something that nobody on my podcast has said yet. Go ahead. Sorry it took me so long to get to you.
Oh, it's no problem. I'm very patient. So one thing I think about when I think about 2040 is libraries. I'm very passionate about my libraries and my community programs and stuff like that. And when I think about libraries in 2040... people aren't really going to go to libraries for books. You can find most information online. But as I said earlier, not on the podcast, but during the, I forget what.
Downstairs, during the forum.
Downstairs, during that. I think that they're more going to become community gathering places, program centers, places where people could start up a program, have people gather there, you know, places for the community to host programs and do fun stuff like that, a gathering place, a social space where people can meet and do stuff rather than a place to go and find information.
It's to be really sad, though. The death of books, basically.
No, I think there's still gonna be books. It's just people aren't really gonna go there to get books as much.
I feel like they're gonna become irrelevant.
Are you sad about the death of physical media?
Yes, I'm very big into like lost media, recovering lost media, like the Internet Archive, for example.
But I mean, like, so what you mentioned being scared about losing books,
losing any kind of media, really.
But let's say we have access to every book. And let's say not only do we have access, but no longer do you have to go to the library or hope that it's in the library. Everybody has access to it right now with the push of a button.
What happens in the event of a system shutdown? What happens if you lose that data? Where do you go to get new data? If all of those books are gone and all that information is lost because you've like moved it online, and there's even if the backups go down, like what do you do then? Then you've lost so much knowledge.
One event that could cause something like that.
Solar flare, right?
Yeah. It would have to be a strong geomagnetic storm 5. The strongest we've had in more recent times, aka the beginning of this year, was a G4. The last time we had a G3 hit was 2003 during the blackouts.
The physical reaction that I'm having, and for those of you, not for the people in the room, because the people in the room are smart enough, but for some of our audience, maybe if they're younger or haven't thought about something like this, what we're talking about is a digital apocalypse. We're not talking about, you know, zombies. We're not talking about AI. We're talking about not being able to turn on your TV or your cell phone at work.
Or even the lights. The whole power grid would be shut off.
Or even the lights.
Terrifying. Yes. Space is terrifying.
What do you, as a space enthusiast, how realistic do you think that is, that something like that happens by the year 2040?
It's out there. It's
you're scaring the shit out of me right now with the confidence that you have.
So in 2012, we almost got hit by one that could have decimated power grid. And right now, especially for people watching, we're entering the peak of solar activity.
Yep.
And currently, we're in the season. So I'm close when I'm home, stalking the solar flares from NOAA.
I have one more question for you guys. The reason that I think about this a lot is because I'm very worried about AI. People talk about regulating. People talk about people using it responsibly. Zuckerberg talked about that this week.
Yes.
Using it responsibly. And again, I'm a hacker and I can hack a lot of shit. Like I can, but I do it, I want to say for good, but not really.
White hat hacker.
Not really. I'm a gray hat hacker. I'm a pirate. I get my own, like, I'm bootlegging Nintendo Switch games. All right? I'm doing it. Good.
So, like, I feel like AI, it's cool and all, but, like I said earlier, it can be dangerous. Like, what if somebody, like, what if you had your credit card online, right? And someone just, like, got your information, right? You're done. You got to get a new credit card.
And does that happen?
Yeah.
So we're talking realistic. And people have hacked the most, like, Fort Knox kind of things. I'm sorry, please finish. I see you. Go ahead.
So, like, what's funny about that conversation is that it actually happened to me, like, 4 times, is you go on all these websites and you can't tell if they're
real. Well, what kind of websites are you going on?
Whoa. Okay, for this a lot. You can at least pop up on your phone, like, Walmart.
Can I say, I'm horrified for you guys.
Yeah, the lemon in your hair, you pop up.
I'm trying, like, while I'm gray hat with certain things, I'm not gray hat with everything. I'm not evil, right? But, like, the sites where I bootleg my comic books, right? Every week, I can't afford to buy all the comic books. And I promise you that when they're dope, I will buy, like, the dope collection. You know what I mean? Like, the hardcover and stuff. So I buy that stuff, but I totally bootleg my comic books, like, and video games.
You should for the work.
Yes, I will buy, right? Like, if it's dope, I'm totally going to buy it.
But it's mass-produced, so if you pirate it, it's not taking away that much money.
But my question is, If I can pirate and I can hack into and I can, I think, almost anything. The phrase was, if you can make it, we can break it, right? Like, there's think there's nuclear weapons. There's all that stuff. So, like, we need to have hope, right? We need to figure out how we're going to solve this. And one of the solutions might be a self-inflicted digital apocalypse. Like we need no power, right? A power shutdown.
I would like that. Also, here on the ground, someone makes one virus that affects the power grid.
You ever heard of wormhole virus?
Yes, and also Stuxnet.
Please finish your part.
So, like I was saying, if you keep like going all these different websites, like I get pop-ups on my phone 24/7 of like,
Hey, you with your pop-ups, mister?
Like it's like a Walmart giveaway or something. Scant. And I go on my phone and I'm like, ooh, that looks so appealing. And then I get it. Then I'm like going in the mail 24/7 trying to figure it out, and it's not there. And then my mom comes to me. It's like, oh, your credit card got hacked again. I'm like, how the hell did it
happen? How does it happen four times? Like, I don't believe you about the pop-up.
No,
literally. Did you learn your lesson?
That's what I wanted to add, but I cut myself off for time. When I go to even the best sites, when I go to some of the best sites where I'll go to get like a movie or a comic book or something, first of all, there's going to be booty. Right? It is going to be, and it's indiscriminate. It's not based on the kind of booty that I like or whatever. It's just like, it's just
booty.
Ears, right?
It's out there.
And then, there's going to be other things.
Area.
So those things happen. Can you very quickly, I don't want to cut you off, so I want you to do a nutshell.
One thing that you remind me of is during the beginning, you asked me about that Snoop Dogg AI that you could use as a DM.
Yeah.
I'm thinking that sounds great because I know that there are a lot of some people don't necessarily like being in DM. Sometimes it's more fun to be a player than a DM because you have to do a lot of planning and a lot of hard work to be a DM.
So a lot of improv.
And some people can't find a DM sometimes, but they still want to play D&D. So I think it's a great thing for people to have access.
Are you talking about from your perspective? You love being the DM, but one day you also would love to join a game?
I love being the player too.
I hear you. Go ahead.
Yeah. What I was saying with, for example, with AI, I've actually used AI to write books and then I published them on Amazon. So I wrote, quote unquote, a book about parenting.
Well, you still got to check it out.
And and edit it. And then a book about, what was it? Something about self-improvement. And while they haven't really gotten any sales, it was scary to
Hold up. Cora at 16 years old?
Yeah.
Cora at 16 years old. See how I did that? You've published a book using AI. I wish we could continue. I have to cut it off because we have to go. While I have people still in the room, all of you are all anointed Steambox homies today. Steambox homies, yes. Please say peace out to the world.
Peace out.